Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Skies a jam. Dynamite dunk, and the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce.
Pistons fans, hello and welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast brought to you by the Believe Network. Very, very excited to bring you another show this week talking all things Stones. And joining me, as always, my good friend, Jasper Apollonia. Jasper, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing okay, man. I feel like we had a very positive podcast last week. And I feel like the vibes are going to be a little different this week. But still, man, excited to be on here with you. And as always, somehow, I'm still happy to talk about the Pistons. So let's get into it.
The comment section might disagree on us being positive, but I think we did as much as we could for a 12-win team in the later part of March. But we've got some more Piston stuff to talk about. A couple topics that I think are interesting as we get towards the end of the year, a pulse check on some core guys for the Stones, as well as talking about what these last few weeks of the season might look like for the Pistons. We're going to get into all of that, but before we do, I want to talk about this week's sponsor, as always, our friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all of your basketball wagering needs. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for the season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game, every round, right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. I'm excited for March Madness. I mean, one of the best times in the sporting calendar year. And I just don't know who's going to win. I know last week, I've got to mention it. Last week I talked about liking Tennessee. They then got embarrassed in the conference tournament. I said to myself, I know what I'm doing betting on Rick Barnes. I know it never works. I know it's hurt me in the past. I said I liked them again, and exactly what I thought was going to happen ended up happening. You just can't trust a Rick Barnes team, but, man, I'm really, really excited for the tournament. Like I said, part of me wants to pick UConn. I just think that if there's a team that's capable of going back-to-back, Dan Hurley and the Huskies certainly seem like a team capable of doing it. But, man, I like North Carolina. I think you can make a case for a team like Arizona. I think there's a lot of teams that have a chance to win it this year in what really feels like an open bracket.
Well, UNC winning it all would be, I guess, not too bad for me as a Syracuse fan, since we beat them earlier on this season. So, you know, that would be nice. I will say, though, I can't even say I told you so when it comes to Tennessee, man. Like, you know better than that. Come on, Aaron. Like, come on, dude.
I know what I'm doing. I still do it. I'm an idiot. What can I say?
Well, you know what? That's one tournament where they've embarrassed themselves in. So, luckily, you have another tournament
do it again
for them to embarrass themselves.
Oh, I've looked at the bracket, and I've already put a pathway to Tennessee into the Final Four in one of my brackets. So, It's possible that I fall down that same trap again. But
somebody save this man from himself. He's a Pistons fan, and he's now rooting for a Rick Barnes coach team. I think you're just be a masochist, dude.
I'm a glutton for pain, man. What can I say?
For real.
Well, speaking of being a glutton of pain, I guess we should talk about the Pistons, the injured Pistons, coming off some tough losses. The Miami Heat loss in particular was, you know, I'd say it was a really, really bad loss for this team. It still probably isn't a top five loss on the season for them, as Cade Cunningham chucked up just a horrible basketball play, just chucked up a shot with 10 seconds left in the game. The Pistons had the ball with a chance to win it or force overtime. Kate takes a shot with 10 seconds left. You knew when he did that, the basketball gods were not going to let Detroit make it to overtime after disrespecting the game. Bam Adebayo goes down. He heaves off a three, banks it in at the buzzer. Miami wins. And then, as expected, the Pistons went out and got blown out by the Boston Celtics. They did not have Cunningham in the loss to Boston. They did not have Simone Fontecchio, and Isaiah Stewart left with an injury in the first half, did not return. Still without Quentin Grimes and Asar Thompson, and I think that's where we should probably start this week's show. The Pistons have a ton of guys out. A lot of these guys are key guys in terms of where this roster is at right now. Cade Cunningham is off of the injury report heading into Detroit's game on Wednesday night against the Pacers. But Fontecchio, as we're recording, is questionable. Quentin Grimes, Isaiah Stewart, and Asar Thompson are listed as out. And actually, the latest Piston, Taj Gibson, is questionable as well. But focusing on the key guys, are we starting to see what we've seen in the past few seasons for the Pistons, where they start to shut down players for the season? They pop up on the injury report, and they just never seemingly make their way off it. They've got 14 games left, just a couple weeks left in the season. Have we probably seen the end of the season for a couple Pistons? I think the one that sticks out to me the most is potentially Asar Thompson, with the medical issue that he's dealing with. Was originally cited as asthma. Now it's cited as an illness. Monty Williams said last week we were supposed to get an update on Asar Thompson soon. That official update hasn't come yet. I'm just not sure what the rest of the season looks like for him. I think there's a few other guys that might fall in that same boat.
Yeah, I mean, with Asar, I think that is what you're hoping, genuinely, is that it is a planned, maybe not planned, but like they're just like, you know what, we're going to play it super, super safe. We're going to hold him out. Season's basically over for him. Maybe he comes back for a couple more games to finish up the year. But to me, that is what you would hope the case is, because if not, and we still haven't really gotten a fulfilling update on what is going on with him, you have to be concerned. I think you'd have to be very concerned about what Asar Thompson's state is, what things are going to look like for him moving forward, because if you know, this asthma is a multi-week, whatever illness it is that he's dealing with. If this is a multi-week thing, and it's not like we're just holding him out, precautionary, whatever it might be, I certainly something you have to be concerned about moving forward, especially since he's one of the few bright spots for this team this season. I don't think we're quite at that point yet. Like, Cade clearly battling through some injury, came back for the Heat game, missed the Celtics game. Like, he's trying to play. Quentin Grimes, they need to see something from him. I have to assume he is legitimately injured as well. There's no way you give up that both Boyan and Burks for Quentin Grimes as the main, you know, return in that trade package. And then you get almost nothing from him if you're the Pistons. Like, that's not... it's just not how you do things. Like, there's no way that that's acceptable. So you have to imagine that these are legitimate injuries. Do I think that we are probably getting to that point in the next 10 games where, you know, Jaden Ivey is going to maybe sit a few of them. You see what else you have, blah, 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 blah. But here's the other thing with that, and why I don't think the Pistons will or necessarily should start shutting down some of their key players. usually when you do that as a young team, as a bad team, you're doing it to see what you have from the rest of the roster. What is there really to see from the rest of this roster? Like, is the front office clamoring to be like, we need to see what Buddy Boeheim can get of us next year? Like, call him up from the G League. Like, no, there's no young, unproven talent on this team that isn't already getting tons of minutes for it. So to me, I don't think that the Pistons are actually in a position to be doing something like that. They're in a position where they need to be seeing exactly what they can get out of their core players, the guys that they traded for at the deadline. They have to get a proper evaluation on these players, and I don't really necessarily think they have done that. So yeah, I think maybe the Pistons do it moving forward, but do I think they should? Do I think that that is necessarily like the best move for them? Like it was maybe last year when they shut down Bojan Bogdanović? No, I don't. I think they should be playing their young guys until the end of the season, maybe bar for the last couple games.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I agree that they shouldn't. I don't think any of these guys outside of Cade have really done enough that warrants them being shut down for the year. The questions of fit, of long-term talent, definitely still in play for pretty much everyone. And I think you can also include Cade in that, because he does, at least in this second half of the season, really bounce between being a very high-level player and then being a guy that just really doesn't have it some nights. But I'm not in favor of shutting these guys down. I just look at the past years for Detroit. Last year it was Bojan Bogdanović, Isaiah Stewart. Last few weeks of the season, I think it got to where Jalen Duren was sitting as well. James Wiseman was starting games. It feels like the writing's on the wall that at least a couple of these guys, if they're not already, are going to be done for the season soon here. And the guys like Asar Thompson and Quentin Grimes, despite I think both of them needing to play, I think both of them would greatly, greatly benefit from all of the minutes possible that they can get. It just seems like we're not trending in a right direction for them health-wise. And at what point is it just like, we're not going to put the pressure on them? Let's just play our two-way guys, play our end of bench guys. And I guess even though they weren't winning games with the main roster guys anyways, let's just make sure we're still at a top two, top three situation to land the top pick in the upcoming draft. I look at who else is out. You know, I can see it with Cade Cunningham maybe in the next week or two. I just look at, he's been on the injury report for the past 2-3 weeks. Every game listed as probable or questionable with the knee management type of thing. Is that them setting up with the, once they get to the last week of the season, saying, hey, it's something we've been monitoring all year. We feel like we've gotten enough out of him. We've liked what we've seen. We're just going to shut him down for the last 2, 3 games, 4 games, 5 games. Let Jaden Ivey play. Let Marcus Sasser play. Bring up a guy like Jared Roden and just let those guys get these final minutes of the year. It's something that I could see. Again, don't love the idea. I understand it in some cases. I was just curious what the pulse was, because they have done it in years past. And to me, it feels like we're trending that way as this injury report seems to expand over the last week or so.
Yeah. I mean, I think really Cade, and I mean, maybe Jalen Duren, maybe Isaiah Stewart. Those are the only guys that you can make that argument for. Certainly not Jaden Ivey. And I think that that's really, really disappointing. I mean, coming into this year, you were looking at the back end of his you know, rookie season and saying, okay, maybe this is the kind of player that you're getting. You know, post All-Star break last year, I mean, it was like 20 games or something for him. But he averaged 19, 7, almost 4 rebounds per game. He was, you know, shooting 36% from three, wasn't shooting great overall, but like was giving you what you wanted to see out of Jaden Ivey, where you were like, okay, maybe this guy can really fit next to Cade. Maybe it can be a 1A, 1B scenario. This year, post All-Star break, you're talking 14 games. He's averaging 15 points, 4 assists. He's shooting. This is horrible. Post All-Star break this year, Jaden Ivey's shooting 38% overall, 23% from three. I mean, it's like 50% true shooting. Like, he has been just bad, like straight up bad. And he was good against the Celtics, but I think there's a legitimate, you know, there's got to be some legitimate questions about him. And I know that's something we're going to be getting into even more, but like, really, other than Cade, I don't know if anyone on this team has done enough for me to be like, you're good for the rest of the season. Like, I don't need to see anything else from you. I know what you are. I know where you're going. Yeah, it's just been and I think that in and of itself is like an indictment of where the Pistons are at is in their rebuild. And the fact that there's no other young guys, you know, to come in and be like, well, we want to give this guy a chance. Like, we talked about it last week. Like, I think James Wiseman has been much better over the last few weeks than he has at any other point in his career. But like, I mean, really, like, what do you really need to see from James Wiseman at this point? Even if what he's shown you since the acquisition of Taj Gibson is for real, you still know what he is. He's a backup center. Like, that is what he is at this point. So there's just not really any evaluation to get anywhere else unless you're really thinking like, what, like Stanley Omude, like Malachi Flynn, like these guys are nothing. I mean, from like a acquisition standpoint, like you're not going to get anything for any of these other players on your roster. They're not going to be playing a significant role on your team next year or probably ever. So for me, I think it's a very frustrating situation that we're in where we can't be like, okay, time to sit four or five guys, you know, for the rest of the year. No, you need that evaluation period. And that's actually really, I think, the number one reason why I would say Cade should keep playing for at least another, you know, 10 games or so, is because you still don't really know what you're getting from the combination of him and Jaden Ivey moving forward. I think you know what you're getting from Cade, but I don't know if you really have any sort of confidence in what you're getting from Jaden at that same time.
Yeah, one last candidate that I'll mention is Isaiah Stewart. Went down with what the Pistons are deeming a right hamstring strain in the loss to Boston. If that's a 2-3 week injury, I'm going to imagine he's, you know, not brought back with 2-3 games left in the year. So that's something worth monitoring. No official status update on like a timeline for him. He just popped up on the injury report with the right hamstring strain and an out designation for the game against the Pacers. But
no, and like, I think we've seen what we need to see this year from Isaiah Stewart as well, right? Like, outperformed our expectations, but like, really, so what has changed?
Answer as the starting four, but at the same time, is kind of also needed in that starting lineup for them to have any sort of like fire under their belt, I guess. It's an interesting situation because I still very firmly believe he's a bench level energy big that can do some good things, but just ultimately you're pigeonholing yourself starting him alongside Jalen Duren and Ashar Thompson just because of the lack of spacing. But I also haven't heeded the production from him since he's come back from his past injury. But yes, Stewart is a guy that I could see just being shut down here. I think we can move on to our final topic that we want to discuss. And we're getting to the final weeks of the season. We've kind of already started talking about it with Jaden Ivey.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This season has been a roller coaster unlike any other with the Pistons' quote-unquote core four of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Ashar Thompson, and Jalen Duren. It seems like each of these players have gone through very high-level stretches where they're playing good basketball, contributing in areas that you want and expect them to contribute in. But then it also feels like they've gone through their own portions of the year where they've really, really struggled. And it's led to us questioning their long-term fit with this team as a part of the core moving forward. And I want to focus on those four guys. What the exercise we're going to do here is we're going to rank each of these players in terms of importance moving forward based off what we've seen from them this year. And starting off with the most important, I'm sure we're going to be in lockstep here. It has been, and it probably always will be with this group, Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham is the most important. He has the highest ceiling. He is the primary ball handler. He has been labeled the franchise guy by the team. His season, somewhat up and down. The good thing is he's been relatively healthy this year. After a slower start to the season, his efficiency really, really picked up. Then over the last week or so, he's kind of not looked the greatest, but he was playing very, very good basketball after about the first 20 or so games of the season. He is still the most important guy to me by a very, very wide margin. I don't think any of the other guys have done enough to even put themselves in that consideration for me. I'm not sure how you feel, but for me, Cade Cunningham is the number one guy of utmost importance for the Pistons in the now and in the future.
Well, first off, you know what I'd like to never hear again? The phrase core four. Like, that is just, what a kiss of death that's been. Like, Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey, Saben Lee, Isaiah Stewart. Why did we want to do that again? What was the impetus for continuing that? Like,
does it work the first time? Try again.
But right? Like, I don't get that at all. We're not talking like 08 Celtics here. Like, come on now. I there's no question. And I think anybody in any situation who tells you otherwise is just being a purposeful contrarian. It's Cade Cunningham. That is the number one guy for this team moving forward. Look, you talked about, yeah, he's been a little up and down, but the numbers don't lie at a certain point. And I think that even with him being as up and down as he has been over this year, you look at, you know, what he's done since he was actually placed next to another NBA guard in Jaden Ivey, one who hasn't been all that great as of late, but like better than Killian Hayes, that's for sure. You know, last 31 games, Cade's averaging 23 points, 8 assists, you know, 3 turnovers, which is absolutely something you can live with, 4.5 rebounds, and the efficiency, like 47% overall, 39% from 3, and he's also giving you 85% from the free throw line. So, like, right there, that just tells you everything you need to know, because there is not another player on this team, regardless of the role you give them, in my opinion, that can put up that kind of production, period. Like, I just don't think that there's anyone else on this squad that is capable of giving you what Cade Cunningham gives you. And for the ups and downs, you're still looking at a guy who's giving you borderline, if not all-star level production. So, yes, no question. It's Cade Cunningham. What I'm interested to see is if we have a different guy from number two, because we've done this exercise before. I think we're, you know, closer to the trade deadline. And for me, my answer has not changed. It was then, and it is now, Asar Thompson. You win. I will say this until I am blue in the face. I've been saying it for over a decade now. You win in this league with your wings, period. That is what wins you playoff games. That's what wins you championships. If you don't have wing players, high-level two-way wing players, you cannot win in this league. Period. End of story. We've seen it time and time again. And if you do have those really high-level guys, you can outperform what the rest of your roster gives you. There's a reason the Miami Heat have been to two NBA finals in the last 3 years. It's because they have Jimmy Butler. And when that guy goes off, he goes off. So, yes, for me, it's Asar Thompson. He has shown me more than enough on the defensive end of things. And honestly, even on the offensive side of things, to where I'm like, look, if this dude can just develop that three-point shot, if you can surround him and Cade
with the right kind of spacing, I think he's going to be terrorizing teams on both ends of the floor for years to come. And frankly, it just comes down to position. Like, that shooting guard, small forward, small ball, power forward role is just so invaluable in today's NBA. And I don't think that you can, I don't think you can take that away from him. He's shown me enough to where I'm like, I need to see what this kid can do moving forward. So to me, he and Cade are really the only two untouchables on this team, you know, unless you're getting a Godfather level offer here.
For the sake of this agreement and for the sake of the podcast, I wish I felt differently, but I don't. If you ask me right now, my answer is Asar Thompson. I'm not sure that would have been the case earlier this year, but I have the same philosophy of wings are the most important thing in the NBA. You need high level wings that can play on both sides of the court. Right now, we know Asar Thompson can play on one side. We don't know necessarily yet if he can play on the other. And that's because the shooting, the finishing, the ball handling, the playmaking. There's a lot he needs to improve on in that area, and that's expected for a rookie. But there are some specific cases, situations in his case that really, really stand out. The shooting is obviously the biggest factor. He's tried to shoot the ball a little bit more before he went out with an injury. The numbers didn't necessarily improve, but there was a willingness to shoot, which I think is definitely helpful. Very young. There's a lot of time for him to get better. But there has to be a path to him getting better, and it can't be going into year four, year five, and saying, okay, he shot 26% from three last year, but he shot a lot in the offseason. This is the year we think he's going to make that jump. He's got to be able to shoot a little bit. There's too many wings that have come into the league. Was really high-level defenders, but play themselves out of contracts, play themselves off of teams, play themselves out of rotations simply because they can't shoot the ball. Now, you know, maybe Asar Thompson's floor is safe. Maybe he'll always be an NBA player because he can defend at a high level and is very athletic, but you're talking about him being an all-star level player if he can score and shoot and do some other things on offense, or him being a 10, 11, 12 man on an NBA team if he cannot figure out and round out his offensive game. So the variance is very big with Asar, but you really do like the potential and the ceiling if he can hit it. Number three.
Yeah, and I just think also, like, this team is in such a bad position moving forward that, like, let's be real, Aaron, like, do you see this team getting significantly better during this offseason? Like, what, unless you are doing something that we were clamoring for a couple of years ago, which is getting involved in another team that's trying to blow it up and being like, hey, we'll take, you know, let's say the Clippers lose again in the playoffs this year. I can't imagine they're going to keep, you know, Kawhi, Paul George, and James Harden together much longer. Paul George hasn't signed a contract extension. I know he's getting older, but, like, there might, in the words of the late, great Carl Weathers, there's still meat on that bone. And, you know, if you can trade for him, ooh, baby, we got a stew cooking. So I think that, like, unless you're getting something like that, you have to go with the guy who is that dart throw in Asar Thompson, because you just need high-level players on this roster, and you're not in a position to where you can be saying, like, well, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to get for Asar, so I can move on from him. Like, no. You need to be, like, hitting on 17 and getting a 4. That's the kind of position the Pistons are in right now. Like, and you don't ever want to be in that position because everyone else at the table is going to hate you.
Yeah, and before we move on, I do want to say, look, I think, and this is something I'm sure we're going to get into as we get towards the offseason and into the offseason, like, we talk about, you bring up, do we see the Pistons being that much better next year? And the answer is no, but at the same time, if your core is essentially filled out, what does it say about your core if you're not expecting a big jump? Like, eventually you're probably going to have to bite the bullet and move on from some of these guys if there isn't a very, very considerable jump next year. So food for thought as we move closer towards the offseason. But yeah, it's not like there's a clear pathway to this team taking some mega jump that they desperately need to take, because these core guys have all not panned out yet, and it's taking a little bit longer than expected. And in terms of the roster around them, the way that they've been coached, those aspects are not helping them either. So a little off of the beaten path there in terms of what we're talking about, but worth mentioning. Moving to the number three guy, I think maybe this is where there could be some debate. I wouldn't blame you for going either way. I'm going to lead Jalen Duren right now. I think Jaden Ivey has played so poorly in the second half of the year. You brought up the splits. I mean, his averages are pretty much identical pre and post, but the efficiency is what has absolutely fallen off a cliff for Jaden Ivey. I think we've also seen the resurgence and the importance of having a big in this league. A lot of the best teams have great bigs. It's becoming more of a trend again. The question is, can Jalen Duren be a great big? Still very, very young, was the youngest player in the league when he was drafted by the Pistons. So he's still a very young player. There's been some really big performances from him this year, but we've also seen him wane in terms of focus and attention on defense. Him trying to do too much as a passer. You like him trying to be creative. You like him trying to get his teammates involved, but sometimes just doing stuff with the ball in his hands way, way, way too much, and it leads to turnovers and fast break points for the other team. There's been situations where he's committing stupid fouls early on in the game and taking himself out of games because he's in foul trouble. But then there's also the moments where he has a 20-20 game and also has 5 assists and 3 blocks and a couple steals, and it's, 85-90% shooting from the field, and it's, he went from a 60% to a 75% free throw shooter from last year to this year. So it's been, like we've talked about, there have been highs and lows with all of these guys, but Jalen Duren does have some really, really good highs. And with him being so young, with him having the size and the talent and the athleticism that he has, you really, really like to buy into him as the long-term center. It's just, does he continue to grow and does he take the necessary leaps for him to be worth that eventual future contract that he's going to want, that's going to need to pay him upwards of $20, $25 million a year? And that's the question over these next two seasons. Can he take that jump?
I think for me, and I feel the same way in the sense of, I have no argument with anybody who goes the opposite direction of me. And I'm actually going to go the opposite direction of you here, Aaron. I'm going to stick with Jaden Ivey. I still really believe in his talent as a game breaker. And I think the difference between Ivy and Duren is that I just think the path to success right now is actually much easier for Jaden Ivey than it is Jalen Duren. He just needs to make some small tweaks to his game. And I know people are going to look at the shooting, but I think he's been put into a really bad situation this year with the way that Monty Williams has jerked him around in the starting lineup and on the bench. I know that hasn't been as much of an issue, for the last 35 games or so, as Killian Hayes fell out of favor in the NBA altogether, that is. But I think for me, those flashes I saw from him in the back end of last year and even during the middle portion of this season, man, they are so tantalizing. And I just think that ultimately with Cade, you do need a backcourt partner. I think you need somebody that can really fit with him. And I'm at the point where I have not given up on Jaden Ivey, even though the results right now are really ugly. He's such a great athlete, and he does have some real skills. And I do still believe that he can develop into a decent, not great, but decent off-ball shooter. So for me, I just think the path to Jaden Ivey putting it all together, I can see it. It's there. With Jalen Duren, I have not seen 10, 15 games of him playing really good defense. I just haven't at all in his career. And I think when I look at it, I agree with you. I think we're going to a league that is now more focused on that big man. This isn't even just us saying it. You're hearing NBA players talking about it and the influence that guys like Nikola Jokic have had on the game, and Bam Adebayo, we're now having that big who can play with his back to the basket and also distribute the ball is becoming a much, much bigger part of a lot of teams' game plan. And Jalen Duren does, on paper, fit that. Like, he does have passing talent. I don't think he's a good passer, but I think he has the talent to become a good passer. Like you said, he's capable of absolutely dominating on the boards on a given night. He's capable of being a devastating finisher, which is something you love for Cade Cunningham in the pick and roll. But I just think there is a real lack of defense. And I say this as somebody who was an Andre Drummond defender for years. I was like, he's young. He still can figure it out. He still can put it together. The skill set's there. He just has to put it together for a stretch. And it never really happened with Drummond. And maybe that's me having a little bit of PTSD from being, you know, wrong about Drummond's ceiling. But like, I don't want to get burned again by the same thing. And I look at those two players and not entirely similar, but like, there is a lot of overlap between Andre Drummond and Jalen Duren. Especially as like young players, where like, I know the numbers don't look exactly the same, but like there was different circumstances there. And when I put them together, I look at like second year Andre Drummond, second year Jalen Duren, I cannot escape the feeling, the knowledge that Andre Drummond was a better player at this point in their respective careers. And for me, I don't want to fall into that trap again. I'd rather take the risk on somebody like Jaden Ivey, who I think, you know, for guards, it's a little different than it is for big men. For big men, you either got it or you don't. For guards, I think it's a little bit more situational. It's a little more based on coaching and small tweaks. I just cannot escape Jalen Duren, like, not getting out to the perimeter ever, ever, regardless of who's shooting the ball, regardless of, like, it just eats at something inside of me when it happens every single game for the entire season, and it never changes. And I know he's young, but like, I just can't escape the feeling that might just be who he is. And I think that's kind of where I'm at, where he's more interested in getting the rebound than he is playing the defensive possession. So that's why I'm going for Jaden Ivey. I just see him being more aware of what he needs to grow in than Jalen Duren is at this point. And like you said, this could change because there's no really perfect answer once you get past number one in Cade Cunningham.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, and look, like I said when we started this, I can't blame anyone for going, you know, either way on these two guys. I think they both have some very serious flaws to their game that, if you tell me, look, this really worries me about their long-term fit, their long-term ceiling, their long-term outlook, I can't really tell you otherwise because they haven't done it consistently or done it enough yet to show, hey, in Duren's case, he's going to learn how to defend at a high level. He's going to give you that consistent effort on that side of the court. Like, obviously, we know Jalen Duren can rebound. We know he can, you know, alter shots at the rim, but is he going to alter those shots? Is he going to go out and defend on the perimeter? How is he going to defend in pick and rolls? Is he going to stop committing lazy fouls, you know, because he takes himself out of position on plays? Like, I can't tell you that's ever going to change. So I can't really disagree with you if you feel one way or the other on them. And that's why I think something that I'm sure we'll be talking about into the offseason is, if a high-level player becomes available, if there's a team that says, hey, we want to go in a different direction, we want to start rebuilding, we don't want to extend this guy, we don't want to pay this guy wants out of here, like consolidating one or two of these young guys into a more proven, more veteran guy that maybe fits better with someone like Cade Cunningham, you might have to have that conversation. And I think the Pistons are going to have that conversation this summer. It's hard to feel like they can just kind of run back what they did last year and just bring back this core and say, hey, they're older now. They had another offseason. They're going to be better. Like, something very serious is going to have to change with this roster next year, outside of saying they added a couple high-level role players and Simone Fontecchio and Quentin Grimes. And in Grimes' case, the guy that hasn't proven anything yet, so he's not, you can't really say he's a high-level role player. So we might see that at the end of the day with these guys, this conversation might not matter by the time next season comes around, because one or two of these guys may even be off the roster. And it might sound crazy now, but I think once you get into the offseason, it would not surprise me to hear those rumors and reports start to circulate that the Pistons are looking at potentially making some pretty significant changes to the roster. And I wouldn't blame them. Maybe something does need to change when you win 12, 15 games for 3 years in a row. So
I would blame them if there weren't significant changes to this roster during the offseason. Like we talked about it all last year. For, you know, Troy Weaver, whoever ends up being the GM, I think it will be Troy for this offseason. If they don't learn from the mistake of making Joe Harris your big offseason splash, like, I mean, I'd be speechless. Like, that's where I feel. Like, if you don't learn from something that was as devastating to this year's progression as basically sitting pat and saying, oh, no, we just need another year. We got another top five pick. Like, if you don't learn from that mistake, shame on you. Like, absolutely shame on you. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect another single cent from Tom Gorris's coffers, please. Because, yeah, it just can't happen. And I think a big thing that is going to play into who ends up getting moved, I think it's probably going to be where the Pistons fall in the draft. Because if you're talking, like, the number one pick, okay, maybe we're going, like, you know, Reed Shepard or something. If you get number four and it's, like, Rob Dillingham, like, how do you make that and Cade and Ivy work? I don't think you can. Maybe Alex Saar is there. Like, I just think things get way too murky once you get to that point. And, like, this is the kind of draft where it's, like, 3 through 6, most likely you're taking a guard. Like, you're taking a point guard or a combo guard there. And I just think that that's untenable. So yeah, I think that's also going to play a factor into what the Pistons do this offseason.
We spent all season talking about how Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart didn't fit, just for the Pistons to roll out next season's starting front court of Jalen Duren and Alex Saar. So no, I think it's a good point. And I think it's something we'll be talking about in the offseason, and once you those lottery balls do fall wherever they end up falling. So it'll be something to monitor moving forward. I think that was at least it felt like a quick podcast. Before we go, I do want to tell everyone listening, wherever you're listening from or watching from, leave us a like, follow us, subscribe to us, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. How would you rank the Pistons core? I want to hear your thoughts. Do you, maybe Isaiah Stewart, for one of you or two of you, belongs in this core higher than someone like Jaden Ivey? Maybe you're crazy, maybe you're not. Maybe that's how you feel. Let us know. Want to hear about it from our followers. You can tweet us, engage with us at Palace of Pistons on our socials. Really, really appreciate all of the support that you guys continue to give us week in and week out. Make sure to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with Bet Online. That is going to do it for this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by Bleep. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We will see you all next week.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger,
for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.